Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. So very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You are part of the show, 2-855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up next hour, we will talk sports, NFL draft. Calvin, I know you're pretty excited about that. That is coming up. It starts tonight. So Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here to talk all things sports balls at 11:33, and then at 11:50, weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Find out what's coming up for the weekend, see what we can expect. And we also have Brewers tickets.
That means another trivia question!
We have trivia, Brewers trivia coming up for you. Tickets for Saturday night's game. The Brewers hosting the Yankees at AmFam Field at 6:10. So your chance to pick up those tickets for Brewers trivia is coming your way at 11:21. Wanted to start off, though, all kinds of breaking news.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of... It's to take a breath.
It's just like all around our feet, broken news, just everywhere we look.
So there are arguments being made in front of the Supreme Court right now as we speak on whether or not a United States president should have full and complete immunity forever and ever and ever. It's really quite something. We're going to play a little clip, Calvin. This is Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor asking the Trump attorney to kind of clarify on how far this presidential immunity should extend.
If the president decides that his rival is a corrupt person and he orders the military or orders someone to assassinate him, is that within his official acts that for which he can get immunity?
It would depend on the hypothetical, but we can see that could well be an official act.
It could, and why? Because he's doing it for personal reasons. He's not doing it like President Obama is alleged to have done it, to protect the country from a terrorist. He's doing it for personal gain. And isn't that the nature of the allegations here? That he's not doing these acts in furtherance of an official responsibility. He's doing it for personal gain.
I agree with that characterization of the indictment, and that confirms immunity.
What? What?
That last sentence, he just kind of slips it in like, I win, peace out!
Ah! Twitter is exploding with coverage of this. Benny Sarlin on Twitter, the Trump legal position is essentially the president can't be impeached after his term ends. Therefore, the window to fully investigate a coup plot, impeach and convict over it, only then prosecute would be all 2 weeks in a January 6th scenario. It's just Looney Tunes.
Yeah. That last line, he just listened to her talk and said, well, yeah, so I'm right.
Yeah.
I'm correct, right?
Sure.
So I'm going to hit lunch now. We're done for the day, I guess. You know?
His attorney said that the indictment of Trump confirms immunity because the characterization is that there's a series of official acts that were done for an unlawful or corrupt person. Justice Sotomayor interrupting, saying no, because immunity says even if you did it for personal gain, we won't hold you responsible. How can that be? That is essentially what they're arguing, that the president is above the law.
Yes.
In any instance.
Yep.
No matter what.
Yep.
He cannot be held accountable.
And this all came from, if I'm not mistaken, him just standing on stage going, I have to have immunity. I have to have this. Give it to me. Give it to me. Let me have it. Give it to me. And somehow they just got... And that wasn't too far ago. That wasn't too long ago. That wasn't like years ago he said that. He made news about this year. And he's the Supreme Court arguing this point. And they're just, and just like Trump himself, they're like, yeah, and every word you're saying makes me right.
Yeah.
Because I'm right.
Just, and like you said, just give it to me.
Just give it to me.
I should have it.
Yeah.
Because I want it.
Just let me have it.
Kind of like I think he's lived his whole life.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I deserve it. I should have it. And his whole argument, too, Donald Trump has said in the past that no president can effectively govern if he doesn't have complete and total immunity. You know what? Up until you?
Yeah.
It's kind of worked okay.
They've enjoyed a high level of immunity from people trying to sue them for various things. You know, people try to file lawsuits against the president all the time. It doesn't go anywhere because you can't sue him for individual grievances. It's great. The law is working the way it's supposed to work. And it's just you who feels like I don't take responsibility for things. I will never take responsibility for things. I'll say it straight to your face. COVID response, not my fault.
Right.
You know,
I don't take any responsibility at all, is what he said.
Price rises, not my fault. All these things, not my fault. Never my fault. So, but now you found an area where the law is saying you are at fault and you are trying to upend the entire system so you can just say, I didn't do it.
Or if I did do it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Essentially, I can do anything. I have complete and total immunity. I can stage a coup. I can try and overturn an election. That's completely fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this argument goes in front of the Supremes today as it continues. And I was texting with Maggie Dawn a little bit earlier before the show, mm-hmm. and I'm sure she's going to be talking about this on her show from 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie's a very accomplished attorney.
Yes.
And we'll be able to break this down certainly more clearly than you and I can. She has the experience. Tom from L.A. is on the line. Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jane, and good morning, Greg.
You almost got me there, Tom from L.A.
I got you, buddy. Hey, first off, we the people ultimately are the government, and the more people that realize that, the more power we the people will have to quit electing representatives that are about giving tax cuts to billionaires and actually do something for we the people. I wanted to actually say one of my grievances that I have, actually, and I just want you guys to be aware of it, or maybe other people will talk about this.
Grieve away.
But it is the top of the hour news and the bottom of the hour news. And what I mean by that is the AP or whatever it is, they said they constantly are saying things like, oh, and Donald Trump is stuck in the courtroom. Well, no, Donald Trump is in the courtroom. We don't have to put the word stuck in there like it's, you know, like it's a hardship for him versus other people. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I hear what you're saying, Tom. And unfortunately, I don't have a direct line to the AP reporters, but I understand your gripe about that. Yeah, he's not stuck. He's there because he got in trouble, and now he's being held accountable. So, yeah, it certainly is. Words are important. We say that all the time. Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah.
Words are important.
Yeah.
Anything else, Tom?
In the courtroom.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, they should be using words like he is in the courtroom. You know, they're also stuck. I hear it all the time, and I hear where the AP has some type of bias, I believe, for Trump. Also, the civic media news, I find that a lot of times that they actually are just either putting, you know, they go for the person, of course, that's going to get you the most views, but it's like they stenographer what it is that the Republicans have said. Like this morning, you know, there was this thing.
Okay, Tom, I'm gonna stop you a little bit because you're kind of going off the side a little bit. I tell you what, Calvin, put Tom on hold. And we will give you, if you want to talk to our news department, we can put you directly in touch with our news department. So go on, put Tom on hold, please, Calvin. And we will get you an email where you can bring this up with them. And that will be more directly. Bill from Oconomowoc also on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Oh, great. And it's usual. I don't know how your radio station picks such perfect topics for our environment and our culture. But I'd just like to speak a little bit on the news. I find it so ironic that Fox, Newsmax, and all these goofballs on the right think it's unusual that students at a university protest. My God, where were they the last half century?
Yeah.
When you go to a university, you look at everything. You don't look at one thing. So, of course, there's going to be different points of view. That's what a democracy is about. But they act like our country's on fire, yet they walk around the issue of a man with 91 felonies and 26 sexual assaults. They don't even talk about it. Well, history is being made as we speak. This man's on trial because he's making history. It's never happened in our country. He's right. This has never happened. We never had a man with that kind of conviction or charges run for president. So let's not call him Mr. President. Let's call him Mr. Felon.
Well, that, and what Tom was talking about semantics and words just before you, Bill, and it drives me crazy when people call him President Trump. He is the former president.
He still retains that title, though.
But he is a former president. He is not the president. That's like David Clark continuing to call himself Sheriff David Clark. It drives me cuckoo.
It makes me crazy.
You used to be. Okay. I used to be color guard in high school. Do I still get to claim that title?
But you get to, never mind. All right. I get your saying.
Thank you so much, Bill. Really appreciate it. Karina, we have just about a minute left. What did you want to say? Thank you for listening.
Hi, guys. You know, it's a lunacy, absolutely. And the fact is that he's asking for immunity, and that first immunity president is going to be Biden, not him, if they're going to do it. And that means that everything would be just everything what he's accused Biden doing to him will be completely reduced to zero.
Yep.
So he's not even calculated to that point. Then, I mean, we're talking about Putin not having an immunity. And all of a sudden, and other thing, which I want to say, Jane, to your point, that he can do anything, including selling his secrets for this government.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Karina. And thank you, as always, for listening. Really appreciate it. Yeah, he's essentially saying, whatever I do,
it's all good. And today, if he did something wrong, be like, well, I'm the former president. I am the president. I'm Donald Trump. I get to do whatever I want, right?
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, ready to take your calls at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about the arguments happening in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. An attorney for the former president, John Sauer, telling the court that Donald Trump could have legally assassinated his rivals because he should be immune.
Yep.
So it's all good.
Folks, don't worry.
Nothing to see here.
No.
It's all fine. Justice Sonia Sotomayor does not seem inclined. However, she's made several comments about, we don't have a king.
No.
That's not how it works here. That's kind of why we left.
Yeah, this whole thing of, like, I thought we were a freedom-loving, freedom country, and now all of a sudden we've got a guy who wants to be the all-important, all-powerful, immune king.
And above the law.
And a Congress who wants to keep other countries from being free. This is a very weird time to be living in this country. Very, as you said yesterday, I believe you said we live in the upside down.
It feels like it.
Yeah. So, this is...
And especially when we see some of the arguments going... I mean, the mental gymnastics these arguments require is really quite something.
Yeah.
I wish my brain was that elastic. I just don't think it is.
Yeah. I cannot get the sound of that man's voice out of my head.
Mr. Sauer.
Mr.
John Sauer, that's his name. What?
No, it's just, but his voice too. He sounds like a guy who should be called Mr. Sauer. Hey, everybody. I'm going to talk to you about qualified immunity.
Maybe he's had a cold.
We don't.
I've never heard him speak before, so I don't know.
Fair point.
Speaking of the former president, Donald Trump will be in Waukesha. our home base next Wednesday, May 1st. His second trip here this year since that campaign rally. He showed up on Election Day in Green Bay on April 2nd. According to a news release issued by the campaign, Donald Trump will talk about his efforts to deliver safety and affordability to Wisconsin. And I'm assuming that the safety issue is related to the situation at the border. And we've talked about this. The border is a mess, and the border needs to be addressed. Tragically, there was a bipartisan bill put together by James Lankford of Oklahoma.
Yes.
A very staunch Republican.
Yep.
Who submitted the border deal, and it was rejected.
Because your boy called up and said, hey, I need that as campaign fodder this fall. Don't do anything about it. And then like 2 weeks later, or not even 2 weeks later, Republicans in D.C. have the nerve to say, Biden's border is a mess.
Yeah, Biden's border
crisis.
This
is all his fault. Yeah. I'm assuming he'll probably talk about the border, and then he'll ramble on to other things, and he'll ramble on to the election. Anything that has to do with safety, because it's going to keep our elections safe and freedom safe. And he's going to freedom our safety and safety our freedom.
In case you're questioning whether or not everyone agrees that Donald Trump is the one who killed the border deal, here's a little clip from Mitch McConnell, also a well-known weakling Republican.
What a snowflake.
I know, right? Calvin, let's play that clip from Mr. Mitch.
The demonization of Ukraine began by Tucker Carlson, who, in my opinion, ended up where he should have been all along, which is interviewing Vladimir Putin. And so he had an enormous audience, which convinced a lot of rank-and-file Republicans that maybe this was a mistake. I think the former president had sort of mixed views on it. We all felt that border was a complete disaster, myself included. And Chad, you remember covering the phases we went through. First, there was an effort to make law, which requires you to deal with Democrats. And then a number of our members thought it wasn't good enough. And then our nominee for president didn't seem to want us to do anything at all. That took months to work our way through it.
And here we are.
Yep. Your nominee for president. Our nominee. That's what he said.
Don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
I need that.
Mike from Kenosha is on the line. Good morning, Mike. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
No, thank you. I appreciate you taking my call. What a beautiful day today.
Yeah.
I'm kind of with, I believe it was Tom earlier that called in. And, you know, the way that really all of the major media news groups are coddling, yet up to today, this issue and kind of twisting their vocabulary, their wordsmithing, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still hearing them over and over and over refer to Trump as President Trump, but that in the next breath, they refer to President Biden just as Biden. There's all kinds of little smoke and mirror things here, you know, that they call the, you mentioned the border a minute ago. They say it's wide open. If they don't say it's an open border or there's challenges in our immigration system that we all know. No, they go superlative. They go off the deep end and get everybody all feared up and mistrustful. Now, for sure, the days of letting the media groups who are absolutely driving the narrative across our nation, to let them continue their smoke and mirror messaging without calling them out, I think is irresponsible and certainly very dangerous.
Well, and I'm sorry, go ahead, Mike.
And I would love just one little quick point. You know, Democrats need to flush and clean up their own house, and Republicans in this case need to be responsible and clean up their own house. If Mitch McConnell and the leadership of the Republican Party would not be so far down the rabbit hole with this Donald Trump character, they would take care of this issue on their own. This should be gone. Donald Trump should be removed by this time in 2024. And if we had a healthy two-party system, that would be done.
I absolutely agree with you, Mike. Thank you so very much for calling, and thank you for listening. And you're right, Mike. That's why it requires folks to really listen carefully and to read carefully with how things are couched, no matter what news source you're using, right? Because those little tweaks can make an enormous difference. They really can. And I can remember when President Obama was in office and I was working somewhere else.
Former President Obama.
Thank you, former President Obama. That's my own gripe. And it was never said out loud, but it was certainly, to my eyes, intentional on the part of some by never to refer to him as president.
Yeah, because there's always those people who say, not my president. Yes,
right,
they are.
Right.
If Donald Trump wins, he's your president. You didn't vote for him, but that's the way it
is. He is still the president of the entire country. Absolutely. Yep. We have news on the way next. Gary from Sussex, I see you there. If you can hang on through the break, we will take you when we come back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. And this is coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're all the things I've got to remember. Be shying away. Well, I'll be coming for you anyway. Take on me. Take on me. Take me. Take on me. I'll be gone.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, ready to take your calls. Join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to ruin. Lots of breaking news this morning. Arguments are going on in front of the U.S. Supreme Court on whether or not presidents are entitled to complete immunity. The question arose whether Donald Trump is immune from prosecution for what he did in office while trying to retain power after losing the 2020 election. Donald Trump will be in Waukesha next Wednesday. He's going to be stopping at the Waukesha County Expo Center at 2 p.m. General admission tickets are available. He is expected to talk about his efforts to deliver safety and affordability to Wisconsin. And right before we went to the news, Greg, we were talking about, I'm assuming, I don't know this for certain, but the safety issue will be talking about what's happening at our southern border. Mm-hmm. Gary from Sussex has been very, very patient. Thank you so much for waiting. Gary, what did you want to say?
Well, I'm very patient because I like listening to you guys. Now, I've called a number of times, and I'm a conservative.
Yep.
And I'm a mega Trump fan, but I like talking to you guys because you guys are fair, and you guys are polite to me, and I'm always polite to you guys.
Yes, you are. Yes, you absolutely. Are.
Of course.
And the thing is, the reason I listen to you guys, not just you guys, but everybody, is because I learn from listening to you guys. And then I watch Fox or I watch Newsweek or, you know, any of the Newsies stations, and then I listen to their side. And then I make my own conclusion. So I really encourage your listeners to start watching Fox. At least you get to hear the other side. Otherwise, the people say, I never watch Fox. I never watch Fox. Well, you know what? You might learn how the other people think. Now, as far as I'm concerned with the border thing, and I, you know, they just, President Biden signed a $95 billion aid package, okay? Now, they sent, I don't know, I didn't break it down, but it was something like 40 or 60 million to Ukraine, a little bit to Taiwan, and a whole bunch of money to Israel. Now, at Colombia, they got these signs. It says, don't send any more money to Israel for bombs. Well, you know what? That money, every cent of that money that went to Israel is going to be gone for bombs and bullets and everything else, weapons and cannons and tanks, you know. Taiwan, the same thing. This was, and I support sending this money to Ukraine, but I would sure like to see an audit done and see what exactly they buy, because Ukrainian like Luzinski, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, he's fine, but I think he might be a little bit on a corrupt side. Who knows the oligarchs that he has and where this money is going. I would like to see this thing audited. And I think that some of the Republicans was against this because you just can't give these guys a blank check. And as far as there wasn't enough money put aside for the border, and I think we need to secure our border. We live in a sovereign nation. I lock my doors at night. I don't want people coming into my house. You know, I can see some of these extreme lefties that don't care who comes across the border. They probably do leave their own homes unlocked at night, you know, and I'm using that as an extreme. I'm making a point.
Okay.
But Biden had the authority to use executive orders to start closing that border. And you guys know that because the day after he was elected president, he shot down everything that all his executive orders that Trump had. So he could close the borders. And you guys know that. And, you know, I want to listen to what you guys have to say.
And thank you so much, Gary. Uh-huh. As always, we genuinely appreciate you calling. We genuinely appreciate your perspective. And you're right. We shouldn't all be living in our own information silos because that's not good for anybody. It's not.
I don't disagree with you at all. I can't give you specific receipts as far as, like, you know, every single expenditure, but I can tell you of that $95 billion.
Talking about the aid to Ukraine.
Yeah, let's start there. First, $61 billion to Ukraine to replenish their weapons and stockpiles. Getting this from the AP. U.S. weapons stockpiles and overall amount provided to Ukraine to purchase weapons, about $13.8 billion. And then $9 billion of economic assistance in the form of forgivable loans. $26 billion is going to Israel and providing humanitarian relief for the people of Gaza. The people. About $4 billion would be dedicated to replenishing Israel's missile defense systems. And more than $9 billion of the total will go toward humanitarian for Gaza and amid the Israel-Hamas war. And then $8 billion going to Taiwan for various things as far as, like, you know, towards submarine infrastructure development, and additional $1.9 billion to replenish U.S. weapons provided to Taiwan and other regional allies. So that's, you know, that is not, of course, you know, how much they spent on lunch that day.
It's not a line item kind of budget.
But that's a basic idea of where the money is going. To answer your question as far as the executive order to just close the borders, honestly, I don't know if he has full and total authority to do that. If he did, why did Trump do that on any of his days in office? Did he close the border 100%, just shut it off so no one could get in? And you talk about the president not doing anything in his time in office. He put forth a package to secure our borders. He worked with both sides of the Republican, or both sides of the aisle, which we mentioned earlier in this show. James Langford from Oklahoma.
Yep. Republican.
Republican. MAGA guy. Loves being conservative. It was voted down because the president of the United States, former president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, hey, put that in your back pocket. Put it in a drawer. I need to campaign on that. You solve this now, I got nothing. And you can't do anything. And I need the flowers on this one. So if Biden hasn't done anything, Trump didn't do anything. And Trump kept them from doing anything in the Congress.
To keep it alive as a campaign issue, yes. As you said. 855-752-4842. Beth from Green Bay has been waiting. Good morning, Beth. Thank you so very much for your patience. What did you want to say?
Hello?
Hi, Beth. Hello?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Wow, she hung on for a really long time to say nothing. You can always call back, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Sue Kalowski on the live stream says, how come we never hear conservatives like MTG talk about the murders that happen in the U.S. daily by Americans? They only want to talk about crimes done by people who are undocumented, which is rare. And I'm fairly certain, Sue, that you're right, and I think that they have found that undocumented people commit far fewer crimes than legal citizens of this country. Because the last thing they want to do is get in trouble and get deported.
Yes. As we're talking right now, I'm trying to find information. I found articles that are all titled, "Can the President Unilaterally Shut Down the Key Functions of the Border?" Biden himself has said on record that he is exploring whether or not he can do it. I have a feeling that Trump didn't do it because he didn't have the guts to do it. Or he probably told, you can't really do this. This is not something that would look good for you to just...
Well, wasn't there, it was called Title 42. Title 42 is a pandemic-era policy that virtually closed all avenues for migrants to seek asylum in the U.S. Under Title 42, if an individual presented at the border or came into the U.S., even if they claimed asylum, they were immediately sent back to Mexico or their home country without any of the processing of that asylum claim. So Title 42 was purportedly a public health measure. Once the pandemic was over, the Title 42 powers no longer existed.
Yeah, and... Well, that's the, I guess my point is the president, current president, Joe Biden, has said on record that he is looking into whether or not he can do this, whether or not it be supported by the courts. He's looking in to see if he can actually have the power to do what the Republicans are asking him to do. I just don't like this thing of like a president unilaterally
can just do this.
Instead, he's a guy who works with people. He likes committee. He likes collaboration. And for him to just be like one day to sign a piece of paper that says, hey, borders are closed. That's not who he is. And I don't think that would hold up in court.
And is that what we want in the president? Is someone who just unilaterally says, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to do. And if you follow along with some of the arguments happening in front of the Supremes right now, mm-hmm. yeah, that is what they want.
Yes. Doesn't sound like excuse me. It doesn't sound like the acts of a free country. It sounds like a king saying, today I close the borders because I feel like it.
Exactly.
I'm always happy when Gary calls because he's right. He is a conservative. He is a mega fan. He's all those things. But when you ask for the questions, Gary, we're going to give you the answers because the receipts are there. It's pretty simple information out there. I found the breakdown of what we're giving those countries in one search. There might not be the detailed receipts of what you're looking for, but that was a pretty comprehensive breakdown of where that money is going.
A couple of texts that I wanted to get to before we're going to be coming up against the break. Texter listening here in WAUK. This week I subscribed to GovTrack.us to personally watch out for Congress and what sneaky bills they try to pass. Sneaky might be a misnomer. I don't think so. But really, no one who isn't a journalist pays attention. And what I've seen this week alone, there have been over 50 proposals and bills. It's not your job to teach me the processes of government, but these items can contain multiple pieces of legislation, each of which is pages of legalese. Do our politicians fully comprehend every item they vote on? If not, how are they making their vote? That's a really excellent point. And no, I don't believe all of our elected officials even bother. They have someone read these things for them, and then they write like Cliff's notes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I also think we need to keep in mind that in many instances, I would imagine that they are told how to vote.
Oh my gosh. They're told how to vote by the groups that are writing the laws.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Jake from Milwaukee also had a text. Fox has proven to lie to its watchers. You are absolutely right, Jake. They got fined almost a half a billion dollars.
Yeah.
Or almost $1 billion for essentially lying to their audience about the November election.
Yeah.
About Joe Biden's election.
A text that I want to talk to about Robert from Richland Center saying, I believe we do not send Ukraine money. The U.S. buys weapons usually from U.S. companies and sends them actual weapons so they cannot divert money to other uses. That's not entirely true. As I mentioned, $9 billion of that money is going to be economic assistance in the form of forgivable loans. So we will be giving them some money. And it's based on the idea of trust that they're fighting for their freedom.
And they're our allies.
Yeah. So we do give them some money, but we do give them a lot of equipment.
Mike from Kenosha also texting in, the U.S. is committed to treaties referring to asylum, legally bound by law. Make Congress do their job. not by executive power or SCOTUS. Yeah, wouldn't it be nice, Mike, if they would do their jobs? It's just, we're so demanding, Greg.
That's the kind of thing of like executive power to me, or executive orders, is like, fine, if you won't do it, I guess I'll do it. I'll take out the trash today. I'll mow the lawn because you guys can't get it together. You know, that I think that's my big problem is I don't, even if Joe Biden has the unmitigated power to do so, I don't want him to do it. I want Congress to do it. I want Congress to come up with a solution because it's their job.
That's why we pay them to get things done and accomplished by working together, because ultimately, again, we are all Americans.
Yep. And we also pay these individuals.
Pretty well.
I know.
I think that's a pretty good
salary. Pay me half as much, I'll do Congress job.
Pay me half as much, and I can promise you I will get less done than they're doing now.
Pay me half, give me the health insurance, and a couple of suits. And then I'll be good.
It's a wash.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'll live outside of D.C. I can afford that.
Just a reminder, coming up next hour, Brewers tickets. We have tickets for the Brewers hosting the Yankees this Saturday night at 6:10. So stick around for Brewers trivia coming up at 11:20. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. Wherever you are listening to Civic Media, Oshkosh, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Amory. You can always join the show at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. A couple of texts that we wanted to get to about the border. Tom texting in, the reason why Trump could close the border completely was because of COVID and the international pandemic. Democrats have put together a plan like Greg and I were talking about. The Republicans don't want to fix the border problem. They want it for a campaign issue. If President Biden would close the border completely through executive order, the Republicans would impeach him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, what I was trying to get on my face earlier was, you know, I understand closing the border for safety in a pandemic. You just want to keep people safe.
Yep.
But I don't hear Republicans saying close the border because of pandemic problems. They don't believe in it anyways. They just want him to close the borders. And Tom's right. If he closed the borders, they'd be like, how dare you?
How dare you step outside of your authority to do this? And it's Congress's job.
Yes.
Right?
That's why I ran for Congress.
Carmela texting in. Good morning, Carmela. Happy Thursday. I'm so relieved the money was finally approved through Congress to Ukraine. It's good to hear the breakdown of where the money is going to other countries and Ukraine especially. It is a valid concern to make sure the money is going where it is supposed to go. Yes, yep.
And that is easy information to find. I Googled it and it came up the top thing on AP and there it was right there. And Carmela is just a wonderful we'll just say thank you, Carmela.
Oh, Carmela, thank you so. She sent us this incredibly beautiful letter.
Yes.
It made our month.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. 2024 is sparkling now.
Want to get this in real quickly before we go to the news at the top of the hour. Members of the public weighed in yesterday on a plan spelling out what election observers can and cannot do at Wisconsin polling places. The proposed rule from the WEC, the Elections Commission, comes months before the next presidential election. Unlike poll workers or election officials, this is from WPR, who help run elections, election observers are people who just signed up to watch.
Watch.
They
observe.
They have rights under state law. The same law gives a polling place's chief inspector or clerk some discretion on where you can tell these people can be. The WEC rule would let observers stand as close as 3 feet away, but no closer. It also lets them stand as far as 8 feet away, but no farther.
From the voter or from?
From the voter.
Oh, no. No. No.
Opponents, including people who've worked as election observers, say the 8 foot range is too far, making it hard to see what's happening in a meaningful way.
No, I don't care. Get away from me. You shouldn't be allowed in the room.
This, again, just feeds into this whole false narrative that our elections are stolen and our elections are inherently corrupt, that we have to have people breathing on fellow voters. When, think about what happens when you go to your polling place.
Yeah.
And you have to show your ID, and then they have to find you on the sheet.
I always find
it first. And then another person sitting next to them has to find it on their sheet. There are all kinds of checks and balances. There are. I don't think we need this, but I also think if they don't make some accommodations for these people, then it's going to be, well, obviously you're trying to hide something. But obviously you won't do anything, so obviously you're covering something up.
But the problem I have with that line of thought is the next time they come back and say, we need more freedoms, I need to see their ballot before they vote. I have to put it in the machine because I don't know what they're doing. I have to vote for them. They have to tell me. I know it sounds crazy, but these people are crazy.
Well, and Lara Trump said something pretty disturbing earlier this week. She is, of course, now the co-head of the Republican National Committee.
Trump National Committee.
And she essentially said that we're going to have our members collecting the ballots. What?
No, you will not.
What? We're going to have our guys collecting the ballots from the RNC. I don't think that's how it works.
Once again, I'm gonna do what I've done in the past and say to those who are listening who like the former president, are conservative, how would you feel if someone said, I need to get your ballot first before you vote? I'll put it in the machine for you.
How would you feel if someone from a different political party than yours was the one who's going to be collecting all the ballots?
I mean, to
would that instill confidence?
To me, freedom is hampered by the mere ask. So I don't care who it is. Would you want to give your ballot over to somebody who isn't the little old lady helping you feed it into the machine and giving the little sticker? No. The level of anger I'm feeling right now, the idea of someone who will exercise what they believe is a right to stand 3 feet away from me while I vote is the most insane, counterproductive, anti-freedom thing I can think of. If there's a problem, there are lawyers usually on call. There are election lawyers on call. You call them and bring somebody down if there's a problem. These are chaperones.
It's intimidation is what it is. Rob from Port Edwards is on the line. Rob, we only got a couple of minutes left. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hi there. I am a poll worker here in Port Edwards. I was in Green Lake when I lived on Green Lake. But in any event, we just went through this latest iteration, and we had folks, it's a very Republican community here, and we had folks come up, and they were questioning us left and right on all of our protocols and whatabouts, and they have heard all of these stories and all of these terrible things. And you know what? At the end of the day, after 15 hours of doing this crazy stuff, we all collectively went and looked at each other and said, these people aren't normal. There's something wrong here. And the other folks working with me are our GOP, you know, red vested crazy. But they all are on the same page with myself, which is this is wrong. We're not doing anything whatsoever other than holding a clean and fair election. So that's my takeaway for the world. There is actually sanity out there, even amongst some of the folks that are a little tilted.
That is wonderful to hear, Rob. Thank you so much
for doing the good work.
Yes, thank you for being a poll worker. We need more of you.
Yes.
And Keep Our Republic, by the way, is a group that we've talked with before. They take people through the process of how our elections work in order to reassure folks things are working the way they're supposed to be working.
And just Keep Our Republic.
News is next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Network. That's what